Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. The Word of God for the people of God.
I need a minute. Kind of out of sorts this morning. More than usual. Gather my thoughts for a second. The message this morning is going to be in two parts. So don't get your hopes up when the first one ends. It's kind of a warning. So there's going to be two very brief, or not so brief, or two parts. And one is from Isaiah and one's from Jeremiah. And we talked a little bit last week about this series on the prophets. And Isaiah and Jeremiah were prophets who preached during a time when the nation of Israel was in trouble, that they had not been faithful, and God was warning them, trying to get them to repent. Have any of you seen the Bourne movies? You know, Jason Bourne? I mean, there's like 12 of them or something. Well, you know that his name comes from the first recorded case of someone who lost their identity, kind of amnesia kind of guy. He was actually an evangelical preacher in Rhode Island back in the 1880s. And he woke up one day, he was supposed to go to visit his sister in Pennsylvania, but instead he withdrew all the money out of his account and he went to this other town in Pennsylvania and opened a business. He started a store, and he told everybody his name was Albert Brown. And for 2 months, that's what he did. And then in March of that same year, he woke up one morning, and he had no idea who Albert Brown was. He was back to being Ansel Bourne. That's what his real name was. And so for 2 months, he couldn't remember that he was Ansel Brown. And then for the rest of his life after that 2 months, he couldn't remember Albert Brown. He kind of lost who he was. And that's kind of what Isaiah is doing when he's talking to the Israelites here. They have lost their sense of who they are. They don't remember what it meant to be the children of God. So suppose you woke up, and this is a little part where I'm confused. You woke up this morning, you realized that you were the son of Bill Gates, who started Microsoft, which is Windows or Apple? Windows. Okay. I'm not his son, so I don't know. But suppose you woke up, and this guy's like the richest guy in the world, you know, and you got this letter, and you were told that this is who you are. It would change your sense of identity, I think. It would certainly change your bank account, I would hope. But it would change your idea of how you related to the world. And so there's this sense in which we need to know who we are. I was watching, if you didn't get the Bourne movies, anybody, Star Trek? It's okay, you can admit it. We're not going to judge you. Any Star Trek fans here? Okay. I was watching Star Trek Into Darkness yesterday. And if you don't know, Star Trek is... everybody knows this, right? It's this story of way in the future where people have learned how to get along, and so they don't fight wars. Instead, they explore. They go out into the unknown realms, and they find new peoples, and they make peace with them, and they don't have any enemies except for the Klingons and the Borg and a new person every week or every movie. But other than that, it seems like a pretty good place to live. And so, but in the beginning of this movie, they have this new guy, Khan, who is the supervillain, you know, and he comes in, and you ever heard of Captain Kirk? You know, he's the star, he's the main guy. And Khan comes in, and he kills a bunch of Kirk's friends and family, destroys them. And so Kirk's response is, I'm going to go and blast Khan to smithereens. And so the story is how he goes through this process of wanting revenge and to do violence and remembering who he was. And so at the very end, in one of the last scenes, of course, spoiler alert, in case any of you are going to go home and watch this, Kirk survives. And so at the end, he's addressing the Starfleet people, everybody in this world, and he's saying, you know, our first response when someone hurts those we love is for vengeance. But that's not who we are. And he talks about this oath that he took as a captain of the ship to go and explore and to make peace and not to do harm. And he says, we have to remember who we are and what we're called to be. And I think that's one of those stories that repeats itself over and over. There are a lot of movies and books that talk about rediscovering our sense of identity. That's what Isaiah is trying to do with the Israelites, to remind them of who they are. And who they are is they are the children of God. He says that what God says is, I reared you as children. I brought you up as my very own. And now, look where you are. Who are we as Christians? Is being a follower of Jesus, is being a Christian just one part of who we are? Or is it who we are? You know, when you write a sentence, you can have an adjective and a noun, and the noun is the strong part. The adjective just kind of modifies the noun a little bit. So we have to decide, if I think about myself, am I a father who is also a Christian, or am I a Christian who also happens to be a father? Are we Americans who just happen to be Christian, or are we Christians who just happen to be American? Where do we find our sense of identity? Is it really rooted and centered in this relationship we have with Jesus Christ? Isaiah is calling them back because they have forgotten. And over and over and over again, they forget what it means to be in relationship with God. That they are God's chosen people. They are His children. That's how He has treated them. And you know, it was kind of rough being God's children. It is kind of rough to be a Christian sometimes. There are hard decisions to be made. And God doesn't always act the way we want Him to. And it's not really clear what He wants us to do or say or how He wants us to act sometimes. But you know, we're no real prize either. I was thinking about this just a minute ago, about how we complain about God. And He doesn't live up to our expectations. And following Him is tough, you know? I'm no prize either. He gets frustrated. And I think that was one of the problems that the Israelites had, is they forgot that relationship with God has to be authentic and real. That God is real. That you can break His heart. And that's what they did. He says, you know, you read that part, it says, they've forsaken me. They spurned me. They turned their backs on me. That's not words of anger. That's the words of a broken heart. The heart that still longs for His children to come home. So who are we? Are we His? Do we belong to Him? Is that the center of who we are? You know, we get lost because we don't pay attention. Most of the people who get lost in the woods just don't watch for landmarks. They don't remember the direction they were going. They forget where they started from. They say that's one of the reasons that animals don't get lost, is because they have this ability to remember where they started from. And so they can plot out where they are based on that. Sometimes we get lost and we kind of stray away and we wander. We forget who we are because we forget whose we are. We forget where this started. And so we get caught up in the struggle. And it's not easy. And that's, you know, that's the reality, that being God's children in this world especially is a difficult thing. But that's who we are. It's not something that we want to negotiate. We are God's children. And every day we make decisions based on that reality. Every time Jesus calls us, we say yes. Or we say, I'm sorry. Because we keep coming back to that's who we are. Isaiah says, you have forgotten me, you've spurned me, you've turned your back on me. But in Isaiah 53, it says, they've all strayed and like sheep have gone away. But I still love them. I still call them home. God calls us back. Wherever you are this morning, close or far, Acts says, all those who are near or far are called back home to discover again what it means to be God's children and to be faithful to that. We're going to have a prayer, and at the end of the prayer, we're going to pray together the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll have a song and the second part of the message, and at the end, we're going to have communion as a time of response. And so, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about who we are. And maybe it will produce some guilt. And that's okay, because guilt is one of the ways God calls us. But it's always something that He can forgive. And maybe it will just produce some sense of longing that we want to know again that we are His children. And so as we pray this morning, I invite you to join me at the altar if you'd like to. And then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Father, first of all, we confess that we are your children by your grace. It wasn't by our doing. We didn't manipulate you into choosing us, but you initiated this whole thing. It was your idea first. And we thank you, Father, that you have found a way to bring us home. That through your Son, Jesus Christ, the door is open and we are invited and you have chosen us. And we thank you that we are yours. That through faith in Christ, that we are your children. That's who we are. That you have made that to be the reality. And so we thank you that you have adopted us into your family. That we are your children. And that you have not forsaken us. But Father, we admit that there are some times and some ways that we have forsaken you. And spurned you. And turned our backs on you, when we have forgotten who we are or chosen to be someone else, when we thought that it was better to be like the world than to be yours, those times when it was inconvenient to be a child of God and we denied that we were. But Father, this morning we ask that your Holy Spirit will whisper again that invitation to us to come home, to remember who we are, to regain our sense of identity as your children. We thank you, Father, that you are always knocking on the door of our hearts, always inviting us back to yourself. Help us to hear that voice and to choose this grace that you offer us. And Father, in those places where we get confused, we ask that you would give us clarity and help us to know what it means and what it looks like to be a child of God, to live out this relationship, to live in it, and to live it out as well in our world. And now, Father, we pray for those around us who hurt, for those who are anxious, for those who face challenges that are unique or heavy. We ask that you would help us to bear those with them, to be brothers and sisters in this family. And we ask that you would use us to show the world what it looks like when we love one another. And so help us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like us to stay seated for this song. The word of the Lord came to me. Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where's the Lord? And who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestables. The priest did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
I have great respect for people who have tattoos. I don't have one because I've never been able to commit myself to something for that long, and because I think it probably hurt. But there's this sense in which we are called to something that matters. And so the first part of the message was about remembering who we are. And this part of the message is Jeremiah's call to the children of Israel to remember what they were called to be and to do. How many of you have seen, this is movie morning, how many of you have seen the movie Braveheart? You can admit it, go ahead, you like to see people's heads cut off and stuff like that. Okay, Braveheart's a story about the Scottish rebellion against the English, and mostly fiction, but kind of got a little bit of fact in it, I guess. But at one scene, the Scottish army is lined up against the English army, and it's obvious that the English army is going to decimate them. You know, they've got cavalry and swords and armor, and the Scottish army's over here with their swords and spears and no armor and no horses kind of thing. And so the leader, Braveheart, he talks to them, and he gives them this rousing speech, and he says, you know, you have two choices. You can run, and you will live. But he says, what will you think a long time from now when you're lying in your bed and your life has not amounted to anything? When you have this moment, this opportunity to do something noble, something courageous, something that makes a difference in the world, you have this opportunity. You do not want to miss it. And that's what Jeremiah is saying to the Israelites. You don't want to miss this opportunity. And so what should the church look like? If it was up to you, if you had to sit down and write out a description of what the church should be and do, what would it be? How mild would it be and how bold would it be? Would it be a people who are nice to each other and who get along and who prosper? Or would it be of a people who dare to speak for those who are the least in the world? A people who align themselves with those who cannot win, Would it be of a people who dare to believe in a God who desires justice and peace and righteousness in His world? Would it be a people who are not just different from the world, but brand new? That's what God invites us to be. What would the church look like? He says, you know, you loved me in the old days, and we went through the desert. It was a hard place to be. We went through barren lands, and we stuck together because I had chosen you. And yeah, they wavered, and they complained, and they weren't really sure how this was going to work out, but they wrestled through that, and they came to the promised land, and they made this mistake. He says that I brought you through the wilderness so that you could be the first fruits, not the end. God doesn't choose the church. He doesn't choose us just so we can be saved. He chooses us so that we can be the first fruits in the world, so that we can bring other people in, so that we can make a difference in this world that we find ourselves in. He says that, what fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. And so here's the temptation for us. We can either create a God who is like us, or we can dare to follow the God who calls us. You see, we tend to think that if I want to have a life that is prosperous and healthy and easy, I create a God who wants that for me. If I want a life that is about me and making my life better, I create a God who only wants to forgive my sin and help me solve my problems. And those kinds of gods, they sound pretty good, but they don't exist, and they're pretty worthless. What we have is a God who calls us to be a new community. God desires this alternative future for the world, and it comes to pass through an alternative community, which is His church. A people who dare to be different. Not a new Egypt, but a totally different people who care for each other and who care for those around them, who love their enemies, who care for the least and the last, who align themselves with those who have no power, who use what power and influence they have to save those who are lost. God calls us to a noble venture. He says, they did not ask, where is the Lord? And you know, we ask that sometimes, don't we? When things aren't going well, Lord, where are you? When God doesn't answer as quickly as we want Him to, Lord, where are you? When we want something to happen that hasn't happened, Lord, where are you? But that's not what Jeremiah is talking about. Jeremiah is saying God looks for a people who will say, Lord, where are you at in this world that I can be part of it? Lord, what's important to you in this moment? Where is your hand present? Where is your spirit at work? Where is your heart breaking so that I can be present with you in that place? God is looking for a people who are all the time watching for opportunities to be part of His plan and His mission for the world. We sell ourselves short, and we miss the opportunity to be part of something that is noble and divine and eternal. And we settle for being a nice group of people, for being a little better than the other people around us, when God calls us to be a different community, to be a new people. In verse 13, he says, they committed two sins. They have forsaken me. And they have dug for themselves this source of water. We try to feed ourselves on things that are less than God Himself. We create gods of our own making, and they can do us no good. And so the prophets come along, and they try to wake us up. They try to wake us up to the reality of who we are and where we are. We live in a broken world. There is injustice all around us. How can we be silent? How can we be God's people and not speak or act or do, even if it's something that doesn't turn out the way we hoped it would, even if it's the wrong thing, at least we make the effort to be where God is, to be part of what He's doing, to be in the places where His heart is broken. His heart is broken over us when we forget that we are His, that we are loved and chosen, when we fail to pursue this relationship with Him. Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to know God. I get it. I'm there. I understand that. But so what? That's what we're called to be and to do, is to continue to pursue Him. You read the story, God never gives up on us. It's tough being God, let me tell you. I've never been there, but I can imagine, because He has to deal with me. But He never gives up. He pursues us. He sticks with it. And then He calls us to be something different. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to get it right. We don't even have to know what we're doing. But we need to be leaning in the direction of the place that God's heart is. We need to be walking in that direction, and so that if we fall down, at least we fall in the right direction, you know. Sometimes that's the best we can do. But that's better than being still or not caring or being in the direction that God really doesn't care about. Sometimes we do stuff that God really says, yeah, it's okay. That's what you want to do. But there are those places, if we ask, where we can discover this is where God's heart is. This is a place where we can give ourselves. And so the prophets try to wake us up to this reality of who we are and what we are called to do. But they also create hope, that in Christ there are possibilities for us, that we can discover what it means to be God's children, and we can practice being the people of God, the first fruits who make a difference in the world we live in. Easter screams at us, come home and go out. Be my children and be my church. Easter tells us forever and forever that is a possibility for us to discover this life that He asks of us, that He dreams of for us. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would help us to hear the prophet's call to wake up. Help us to remember who we are, that Christ has died that we might be Your children. And Father, help us to dare to believe that we can be a new people, that we can live in those places where Your heart is beating, that we can participate with You in being the first fruits of a new harvest. Father, we offer ourselves for that, and we choose to stumble and stagger and find our way as best we can, but we believe that You will help us, that in the light of Easter and the resurrection of Christ and His victory over death and the grave, that there is the possibility and the opportunity for us to be true to our calling as You call us back to be that alternative community who create an alternative future that You dream about for us. In Jesus' name, amen.